Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, right now, as we go into your word, Lord, you quicken it to us, Lord. Enable us to receive it and to put it to work in our life, that we may see the manifestation and the evidence, Lord, of your power, so we may be your witnesses, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there is showing me the way, you know, the New Testament is and the Old Testament, how they really line up so well with one another. And there is, you know, the Bible is a big book with lots of chapters and so on, books and different things, teachings. But really, basically, it presents the same thing over and over in different ways. And if we get it in one place and we go to another place and we see the parallel, help us to understand how to put it to work better for us. Because when we are looking at spiritual things and our experience is mostly based on our, you know, through our senses, sometimes we have difficulty in seeing how to apply those things. It doesn't matter where you get it, it's always very similar. You know, I was comparing Jesus' gospel, okay, and especially, you know, in John, the last part, in chapter 13 to 17, when was really the Last Supper, in which Jesus was explaining basic things that were coming. They weren't quite there yet. And then you take, you know, the epistles afterwards, like Paul, Peter, John, the Epistle of John, and they all say the same thing. I mean, there is, with a different angle, with a different perspective. But when you put them together, you get much better understanding of what God wants to do with us. So we are going to, we saw already, you know, Paul, and, you know, I've been teaching on, you know, the John chapter 13 to 17 before, and then, you know, we see all the things about Paul and what was he describing, you know, and we started to look also at Peter, where he describes how to walk in the Spirit. Really, the idea, the basic idea, the important thing, the whole they start is manifesting God's kingdom and power in this world today. That's what it's all about. And really, you know, the whole thing for to do, be able to do that, it depends on one basic concept: our communion with God, our unity with Him, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus demonstrated in His walk down on earth. So He said that I can do nothing on myself, but I only do what I see my Father doing. And that same principle, if we start understanding and applying it to ourselves, then we are going to be able to know how to function as believers. Because He is our example. He shows us what we can do. How we participating in that fellowship, in that relationship. Christianity is not really a religion. It's our relationship with God. In that relationship, you need, what happens is really a connection with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a critical element in the New Testament. Because without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we should do, that we are expected to do. Okay. And when we start to connect with the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. That means He's going to help us to grow into Christ. Grow until we know the perfect will of God. Grow so that we can manifest the power and authority that He has given us. And that is a process. And the process is very clearly, as we saw that before, is expressed by, you know, in the epistles of Paul. But we are, you know, last week we started to look at the way it was expressed in the, you know, in the epistles of Peter. Okay. In Peter, I'm going to read again those scriptures so that we make that connection. It's so important to see how this is similar to what Paul was saying in Ephesians, in Galatians, and so on and so forth. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. But I also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And what I was saying last week, you know, I was introducing this, is really the, all these things are almost completely the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Maybe with the exception of one, okay, joy, that is not listed here. But, you know, it's going to be the manifestation of us. We do some of the other things. And if we understand that what this Peter is saying to us here is not to get religious and try to apply the law. What he's trying to tell us here, that we have to manifest in us the fruit of the Spirit, because that is an indication that we are actually in fellowship with God. If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our life, then what is going to be there are the works of the flesh. And when the works of the flesh are in you, you can say you are in Christ. So all the benefits that he talks about, all the things that we should expect of being in Christ, is not when we are operating in the work of the flesh, but when we are functioning in communion with the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit are in us. Are you saying what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we apply scripture to ourselves and say, you know, this is given to us, this is a promise. Well, but the promise is always conditional to being in Christ. If you are not in Christ, then you cannot say in Jesus' name. Because what you are is nothing else than his representative now here. He's not, you know, any power that you have today is not your power. It's his power that works through you because you are in him. Are you following me? People think, you know, I am so powerful. No, you are nothing. You know, if Jesus said, I can do nothing in myself unless I see my Father do it, you know, unless he was connected with the Father, so we shouldn't we do the same thing? And that's what he said, you know, in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. You know, he said, you know, as you are in me, as I am in the Father, so we are together in unity in him. I'm going to show some things that actually, when we fully understand, you know, there are some scriptures that lots of people have a problem understanding because they do not understand the reality of what I just finished saying. Because they think that they had to create the power themselves. Because they think that they have to, you know, it's something that they have. You are just the channel through which God works. The same way as when Jesus was here, he was the channel of the Holy Spirit. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because, the Holy Spirit was in him. He was operating as a man. Now, we have to understand that. We understand the scripture that, you know, I hear people saying, oh my goodness, you know, all this stuff, you have to be there. If you are born again, all that stuff is inside you. If it's not inside you, you are not born again. If you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says very clearly that, you know, all things are, you know, you are a new creature. All things are of God. See, all the things that manifest all in your spirit, they are there. They are not be able to be in your mind and in your flesh. They need to be fixed. And this is what you work out when you work out your salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, they are nothing else, okay, the expression, the physical evidence of what is inside you as you are walking in the Spirit. If you are walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be there. You say, how am I going to get them coming out? You're going to see that. You know, I heard you had to work and train and everything else. Nonsense. That's garbage. That's religion. You had to be connected with Jesus. Jesus is the source of everything for us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's the manifestation of the power of God that has to be, that is part of that. So all those characteristics, all those fruit are there naturally. Out of a tree, the fruit grow naturally. They don't need to be trained to develop. The apple tree produces apples. Fig tree produces figs. A vine tree produces grapes. And we're supposed to be the branches of the vine. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important to understand, because then it's not pressure on us. Our only thing that we have to do is to be connected with Him. Now, one of the things that I said, often is not said, that all this fruit of the Spirit have a manifestation in physical sense. They are not just abstract things. Okay. They have a manifestation on what? Our attitude. When love is operating in you, you have a loving attitude. When anger is in you, the work of the flesh, you have an angry attitude and nobody wants to be next to you. Are you following me? And when we understand that principle, then all this vague, spooky thing about the spiritual dimension is dealt with. Because then you know exactly what's going on inside you. When you feel, you know, patient, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is manifest, and patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. When you have brotherly love, or love in general, agape, you know the fruit of the Spirit is working in you. So there is always, when you walk in the Spirit, there is a corresponding manifestation in the physical. Your body and your mind is set up in a way that you can recognize where you are. You are not there wondering, well, am I walking in the Spirit or not? Look at yourself and see the way your attitude is. That makes things so much easier to figure out. Because otherwise you are trying to, you know, you cannot connect with your spirit in a conscious way. But you can determine very easily where you are in your attitude. And you have the ability to change your attitude in a second. Says, what do you mean? Have you ever been upset or one of those negative attitudes that are listed there? And your phone rings and you pick it up, and you answer, and it's a friend that you haven't seen for a long time, and you are all glad. And suddenly you forget about that attitude, and you just change completely on a second. I mean, unless I'm changing them different from anybody else, but I think that's what you should be experiencing. Are you following me? That means you can make a decision which attitude you choose to be in. And if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, that attitude of love, or that attitude of patience, or that attitude of self-control, that's the one that, nobody says, oh, that's a difficult one. Forget it. It's there because you are a born-again believer. And if you want to manifest it, you can manifest it. How do you manifest it? I'm going to just change the way I'm doing it this morning. How do you manifest things? These are everything that God put inside us, in our spirit, is God's grace given to us. It's a gift. Okay. How do we receive the gifts, the grace from God? Anybody? You are saved by grace through faith. So you have to exercise your faith. If you don't know, if you have never heard that all the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit is inside you, then you're not going to be able to exercise any faith because you have no idea where you're going to get them. But when you know that they've been put inside you because everything there is of God and He has given you all the things, healing and everything else is rolled there, according to forgiveness, according to the work of atonement. So all these things are there. They don't do too much good to your mind and to your body. But if you are to manifest them, and you to manifest them the way that you manifest any other thing that you get from God, and that is by faith. That means believing. That means standing on what God said about how to receive these things. You believe with your heart, and you confess with your mouth. That means you agree with what God said. And if God said that all things have become new, then you don't go around, well, I don't know how to do that. How am I going to do that? How am I going to implement it in my life? I don't feel very loving at this moment. I'm not very patient. I'm just, stop. Connect with the reality of the word. Connect with what's said, for example, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and the following verses. All things are of God. Well, work on the flesh are not of God. So you just start, okay, I have love. I choose to have love instead of being a grouchy. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. The only thing we have to do is to make that decision to believe it with our heart and confess it with our mouth. Just like anything else that we receive from God. There is no training involved. It's already inside you. Do you believe that or you believe whatever religion says? I mean, the word is clear. You go by the word. You believe the word. You line up yourself with the word. And you expect faith that that's going to be manifested. And it's going to be manifested. You can manifest it even when you're not thinking about the word and you answer the phone. Are you still with me? I mean, that makes it rather simple, don't you think? It's not so complicated. say, oh, I don't have self-control. I'm really a mess. Well, because you choose to be a mess. Because you believe that you are a mess. Praise the Lord. You see, what is in our spirit? Okay, our job, what God expects us to do, is to bring what He put in our spirit, first in our thinking, and then in our body. That's how you get healed. That's how you get deliverance. That's what you get, everything from God, and that includes also the manifesting the fruit of the Spirit inside you. That means to stay connected with God and being in Christ. If you don't manifest the fruit of the Spirit, you are not in Christ, because you are manifesting the fruit of the flesh, the work of the flesh, which is carnal and you know, even if it's not necessarily sinful. And that is going to be separating from God, and we are going to see in a minute. That's what the Word says. Are you still with me? You see where I'm going? Praise the Lord. See, when we start experiencing that, when we start walking in alignment with what we have in our spirit, because we know that we do it by faith, then we are going to manifest God, what God wants us to do. And as we do that, is we have to know the scripture first. If you don't know that He has given us these things, how are you going to have faith for them? See, the problem when they teach you to work on that is because they do not understand that those things are already inside them, because they don't understand the spiritual reality of a born-again believer. There is forgiveness, there is healing, there is deliverance, there is walking with Christ, there is victory in everything, there is anything that we need. That's salvation. And so we need to appropriate that by faith. Lambano, you take it by believing with your heart and aligning yourself, confessing with your mouth. I have the fruit of the Spirit working in me. And even if today, you know, things are not going the right way and I feel like complaining, instead of complaining like the Israel, children of Israel did in the desert, I'm going to praise the Lord and I'm going to thank Him because He gives me the victory, and I'm going to express and manifest that victory in my life. That is walking in the Spirit. It's not going around, you know, and looking weird. See, when you start doing that, you are a witness of God's power in you being manifested. And this is better than any religious stuff that you're going to tell people that, try to convince them. They had to see God's power inside you. If we don't manifest God's power inside you, and the only thing you manifest is your theology, you get nowhere, because theology is just mind exercise. What they want to know is the reality of the power of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's what He was doing at the beginning. He was demonstrating. All the early part of His ministry was demonstrating the kingdom of God by going around healing people and manifesting the supernatural power of God that was in Him by the Holy Spirit. At the end, when He was teaching to His disciples, He was talking about unity. He was talking, and He's not everybody, we agree with everybody. No, unity means that you are lined up with what the Word says and you manifest what the Word says so that you are in communion with God, in communion with Jesus, in communion with the Holy Spirit, whose job is to keep you in that communion, that fellowship. That something that the Old Testament did not have. Because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. That's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because otherwise I cannot send you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who is going to guide you into all truth. And the guiding in all truth is really the thing that I'm going to expand more right now. Okay. Walking in communion with the Holy Spirit and with the Word is the key for us to do. This is what Paul, expressed very clearly. And this is also what Peter said too. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, excuse me. In Galatians chapter 5, and this is Paul, it's parallel, okay, verse 24 and 25, says something very similar. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with those passions and desire. How do you crucify the flesh? I mean, there is a fruit of the Spirit inside you and the opposite fruit of the flesh or work of the flesh inside you. Like, for example, love and hate. Okay? How do you crucify the flesh? You kill the feeling that you have inside you of hate, and you let the love stand up. You make a choice. You make a choice by faith. And as you choose by faith, and you line up yourself with the Word of God, because that's why you make that decision, what do you think is going to happen? The Word of God says, be content in everything. And the fruit of the work of the flesh in that area, you're complaining all the time like these children of Israel. How do you overcome the complaining and unsatisfaction in your life and start manifesting instead the rejoicing and the being in the Lord? By faith. Thank you, Lord. You did everything that was needed. You provide everything that I need for life and godliness. And because of that, I am overcoming all this lust for things that I don't have. I have everything. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. And you take that position by faith, believing. I mean, this is practical walking in victory. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see how important the understanding of how to apply these things is in our life? Because otherwise, the enemy is going to show all the stuff that is there and is going to produce all the works of the flesh inside us, and we don't know what to do about them. We demolish the work of the flesh by saying no. And we allow the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to be manifested by faith, because that's what we know is given to us in our spirit. And if we don't do it, it's because we are lazy. Because we don't want to do any work, because we say, God, do it. God is not going to do anything for you. The only thing that God is going to do, anything that God has given us, you are going to get it by faith or nothing. Are you following me? We have to understand this, that there is no other way to get anything from God that he has promised us except by faith. And that covers all the grace that he has provided for us. Anything that is in the promises of God. All ours by faith. If we don't get it, either it's ignorance or fleshiness. He said we are carnal and we want to operate according to the work of the flesh. What God says there? Here, Paul again. You know, praise the Lord. And those who are in Christ, if you're born again, you are in Christ. If you don't work according to the flesh, if you crucify the flesh. Otherwise, you fool yourself about being benefiting from what Jesus did. Because you cannot benefit from him if you agree with the devil instead of submitting yourself to the devil in the carnal mind, instead of submitting yourself to what the word says and the Holy Spirit that is inside you, to nudge at you, to talk to you, to push you, to try to convince you to do what? To walk in the Spirit, to according to the direction that he gives you. That's his job. He's there with you. That's why Jesus sent it. He sent it to you to be dwell inside you. That means no matter where you go, he's there. And he say, no, that's not good. Choose to crucify that and to embrace the opposite, what is the fruit of the Spirit. And you're going to see that you're going to start experiencing victory after victory after victory, because you are not giving in to the flesh, you are giving in to the Spirit of God that is there and has provided everything that you need. Otherwise, don't go around reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because I believe that he's my shepherd. And I exercise my faith. And I see the things that he promises. And I think those are mine. And I'm going to destroy any other feeling or any other attitude against that. I use the word attitude a lot. Because, you know, people talking about spiritual things. And they get so airy-fairy, you know, just so abstract. Attitude is something that you should be able to determine very clearly in your mind. If you're upset, you know you're upset. I don't need to go around reading Bible scripture to tell you. If you are feeling good and grateful toward God and worshiping him, you know that you are in that type of relationship at the moment. Let me continue here. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then again, Galatians. He's using a different word that I'm using. I think I'm using words that you should be able to connect physically with. Okay. Says following verse 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let also walk in the Spirit. It doesn't say, well, you know, you just pray around and everything else. No, it doesn't say to do that. He says, let us walk. That means you make that decision to walk that way. Instead of manifesting the junk, you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Are you following me? All of, you know, this is Paul. What I was reading before is Peter. They say exactly the same thing. So, let me continue here. I'm not going to be able to cover everything. So, we go back to 2 Peter that I was reading before. I generally, you know, do all these things that are important. Then continue, verse 9. For he who lacks these things, you know, if you lack all those things that said, you know, long-suffering and all the patience and all the other things, all the fruit of the Spirit, if you lack those things, you know, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all these old things, sins. You were cleansed from that junk, and now you can walk the other way. Because the power of God is inside you to enable to overcome by faith. You don't just want forgiveness and go around being complaining about everything that happens and you are going around being a bad witness for what God has done. Hello? Let me continue. I mean, this is so clear. Okay. Therefore, brethren, has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 10, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Before it says, be diligent about doing those things. Now it says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I mean, that's a pretty good promise. I mean, if you hold on to that, when you realize that your attitude is wrong and you crucify that attitude, that means kill it. Stop it. And do the opposite. You see, it's not that you stop that and do nothing. No, that you have to substitute it with something else, with the fruit, that you know what it is. Because it's not difficult to figure out. It's the opposite of what you were doing before. So, yes, we can be tricked in. We can fall into a temptation. The enemy can create circumstances that we end up feeling that way because we are connected to our senses, and we can say, no, I'm not going to walk with my senses. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. That makes it so down to earth. See, you are never going to be stumbling. So if you understand, if you read the scripture and you stumble, that means you are not following what the scripture says. Go and read it again, get convinced, and apply it. Okay, so this is really, you know, how do you feel about these verses or what they say? You think it's going to be tough to do it that way, or is going to be good doing that way? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And also, it doesn't stop there. You're not going to be not stumbling. Verse 11 says, And for so, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, the Savior, Jesus Christ. So, you know, it's going to be abundant, supplied to you, abundance in the entrance of there. I mean, you have guarantee. You are going to have your election sure, your victory, your salvation manifesting fully there. Because we are moving toward that. Hallelujah. It's a process that we go through in which we grow into what God has prepared for us. But if we stick around manifesting the fruit, the works of the flesh, you have no guarantee. No matter what you people believe. Because the Bible is very clear about that. Okay. You know, in 1 John, talks about the process that we go through. Because, you know, in walking in this world, we are bombarded by situations in which our flesh is going to respond to that because we are still in the flesh. And we have to realize when the flesh is taking over and says, no, wait a minute, I don't walk according to the flesh, I walk according to the Spirit because I am a born again believer and there is a new life inside me that is not the life of the old man, it's the life of Christ. It's eternal life. Praise the Lord. What it says there. Okay, so in 1 John, actually explain this very clearly, you know, so that we can understand it. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, this is a believer. I mean, first, all John's epistles are not addressed to unbelievers. They're addressed to believers. You better remember that. Because people sometimes doesn't say that. But this is an important thing. He's talking to people that actually know God and are born again. And he says, if you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that means if walk in darkness means that we don't see the wrong thing we are doing. See, that's what darkness produces, make us spiritually blind so that we are walking in darkness. So, walking darkness, okay. We do not, we lie and we not practice the truth. See, that means, you know, we should know that we walk in darkness. Why don't we know that we walk in darkness? Because the Holy Spirit inside us telling us that is wrong. But we don't want to do it, and we don't want to listen, and so we keep going our direction. So we walk in darkness, even if we supposedly to understand. And if we have the Holy Spirit, He's telling us. He's not going to give up anywhere. He's going to bother you and pushing you and telling you this is wrong. Stop it. Crucify it. If you don't know, it's because you have convinced yourself, oh, no, no, it's okay. I can do that because, you know, I'm not religious. And you are fooling yourself. If the Holy Spirit is condemning you, you better do something. Because that's what you depend on. We have to say that again. See, we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And if we are not sure, we have to be in the side of the sure part. And we are not going to just, oh no, I'm not religious. Well, just, you are fooling yourself. You see, you are lying. Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and you, if you walk in darkness, and everybody else see that you're walking in darkness. Because they can see from the result. Your attitude is stinks. Okay, let me continue. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with between us and Him, not with me and you. Who cares if you have fellowship with me? I had to walk in fellowship with Christ. It's not a question of doing unity so that we forget the differences. That's nonsense. The unity comes because we are following the same Lord with the same principle, and we understand we are moving in the right direction. We are in the same connection with God. And if you are in connection with God, automatically you come together. We continue here. So if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So you see, it's the fact that what Jesus did applies to us because we are in Christ. What He did 2,000 years ago is working for us because we are aligned in the Word and what the things He said that we should do. Okay. Let me continue here just a few more verses because... Praise the Lord. So if we say, you know, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, and the truth is not in us. You see, what the indication there? What happening? The indication is that our heart is being hardened to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And is rejecting the direction that we get. So the work of the Holy Spirit cannot take place in us. And if we go and do that direction, what happens is become more and more ardent. And when you got to the place when, you know, when sin is mature, is perfected, you lost it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that. But if we confess our sins, that means we acknowledge the fact that we are wrong, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You see, that cleansing that takes place when we confess after we are born again and we fall into mistakes and we fall into sin and we confess them, you know, what happens? You know, we fell because there was a desire inside us to do those things. Otherwise, we reject it, you know, as soon as the temptation comes. There is not temptation if there is not pull within desire inside us. Temptation is not coming from God, okay? It comes by the desires that we have. When our desire make us walk in darkness, you know, that is because our being hardened to block our, you know, the Holy Spirit word in us. If we block the Holy Spirit up, we deceive ourselves and our heart get hardened and the blood of Jesus doesn't count anymore. At least for that thing. You keep working that and that can expand, the darkness can expand until you lose it completely. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't be that way. Okay. But if we confess, we are forgiven and we are cleansed from unrighteousness. That means, you know, not all unrighteousness that the other things you haven't been tested for, but in the righteousness that you are dealing with in that particular situation in which your heart softened up to the Lord. And so because softened up to the Lord, you receive the forgiveness and you are changed inside because you dealt with that temptation, that desire that was blocking you from being able to see the truth. Praise the Lord. All right. I mean, that makes it, I hope that makes it clear. You understand what I'm talking about? That's important because that, you know, that you can start understanding how God works. Understanding how he implements the work in us by the Holy Spirit so that we can grow. He's not, he doesn't mind if we make a mistake. But he minds very much if you stay in it. You should mind. Because, you know, that is going to make all the difference. And Paul talks about that very well. I mean, what I've been talking now here is from 1 John. You see, 1 John says the same thing that 2 Peter says the same thing that even, you know, Romans says, for example. You, the way you get victory, okay, that you confess with your mouth the things, your position you believe with your heart. It's not just the question of, you know, just the way to be born again. No, born again is nothing else than receiving a great miracle inside you, but it's the same thing as all the miracles that God is going to do. Blessing, a grace available to you. But you the same way as you receive that grace, you receive all the next steps that you are going to grow in him because each time you break through bondage and you come into freedom. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm afraid. I'll take another 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. You see, the victory that we get is, like everything else, achieved by faith. It's not saying, how am I going to do it? The way the Bible says. See, how I'm going to do is corresponding to Romans chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. See, but the righteousness of faith, you do not say here, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above. And who will descend to the abyss, that is, whom, you know, bring up by Christ from the dead. See, you don't say, I cannot do it. No, Jesus did it. The word is clear. And then continue. How do you do that? That if you come, you know, what does it say? Says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So you have to know the word, otherwise there is no way. So you have to have knowledge to be able to get anything from God. You have to know what he gives you. Okay. After you have done that, then if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I mean the Lord, Lordship, you put yourself under him. That is determining what to do. He's the boss. Okay. And believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you know, he achieved what he achieved on the cross, you will be saved. You are breaking through all the things that keep you bound. And you go from faith to faith concerning specific decisions that you had to make within yourself. And from glory to glory, there is going to be a manifestation of the freedom that comes to you by exercising your faith and receiving God's grace. Are you following me? That applies to anything that you get from God. Physical healing, mental deliverance, demonic deliverance, everything. If you don't believe with your heart, you get nothing. And you have to align yourself to the Lordship of Jesus so that he is the one determining what you are going to do, and the Holy Spirit is there to guide you into all truth. I think that I'm going to stop here. Okay. See, this is why it says, you know, there is no condemnation to those who walk in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you choose to walk according to the Spirit, that means you have to manifest the fruit of the Spirit inside yourself, you're not going to be any condemnation. Otherwise, there's going to be. Don't tell me, oh, you make me feel bad. Oh, yeah, you should feel bad. Because otherwise, you fool yourself. Okay? And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, the law of the Spirit, when you live in Christ Jesus, set you free from the law of sin and death, the condemnation, and all the other things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, there is all the following part of the chapter that expands on that, but I don't think we can cover it up today. You get anything today? I mean, that should make it very clear and very down to earth, okay? Not with difficult terminology, abstract things. This is actually something that you can connect because your attitude is something that you know very well. It's the way you feel. Okay? And God wants you to feel good. And you feel good only when you are not kicking up a fuss with the Holy Spirit, and you're listening to him. He is reliable. He is good. He is the gift that God has put inside you all over the place. You cannot escape him. Hallelujah. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's pray together. That you know, we don't forget. And we understand clearly. We have knowledge of the way God works inside us. It doesn't go by religion or by formula or by one, two, three things type of schemes. No, it goes by a reality that we have inside, and you have to come in contact with the reality inside yourself and make decisions. If you decide to be saved, then you have to align up, making Jesus the Lord, and align up with what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your Word. They give us hope and freedom and power to overcome any situation we may be in. It's not by flesh or the power of the flesh that we can overcome. It's by your Spirit. And thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to guide us into all truth, so that when we have the truth, we are going to be free. We just praise you for the power that is in the truth, in the Word of God. the power to set us free, to give us victory, to manifest in our body, in our mind, God's promises, to become you witnesses, to show what you can do in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive it today. And we take it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.